Lord, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you that you are here. We thank you that you are the same today as you've always been, and that you're healing people and you're rescuing people. God, that you're making all things new. God, we thank you for how you've been transforming our thinking. Even as we're in your word, God, you transform our thinking, which changes our lives and our eternity. So, Lord, we turn to your word yet again this morning because we love it. It's life. We turn to your word, God. We say, have your way with us. Reprogram us. Make us new. Let us understand who we are now in Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, we are currently on an exploration for the new things that we now have in Christ Jesus. New things, it's the sermon series that we're in at this time. We're reminded that if anyone is in Christ, anyone is in Christ, born again, that they are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. God also spoke this truth. He said in Revelation 21:5, he said, I am making everything new. And that begins to happen the moment that we find our lives in Christ, the moment that we give our lives to Christ, the moment that we come alive in Christ Jesus, everything begins to become new. And we have all eternity to experience those new things. So let's continue to explore the new things that God has for us in Jesus. We've already discovered three new things. We've discovered new thinking. We've discovered that we have a new spirit. That we have a new freedom, and who the Son sets free is really free. Is free indeed. And this morning we're going to look at a fourth new thing that we have now in Christ. That is new identity. That's the title of today's message. New identity. Alright, that's enough of that. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Who are you? Who are you? This morning we're going to answer that question. Actually, God's Word is going to answer that question. God wants us to know who we are. And it's vital that we understand our identity. Why? Because who we believe we are, what we believe about ourselves, will affect and determine how we live our lives. That's just how it works. It's the economy of God. That's how God created us. It's going to affect our beliefs. Who we believe we are, our identity will affect what we believe. It will affect our relationships. It will affect how we interact with God. It will affect how we pray. And it will affect and even determine our actions. Our identity has that kind of power. Who we believe we are has that kind of influence in and over our lives. I find it interesting that identity theft is one of the fastest growing crimes of our time. According to a report released by the U.S. Department of Justice, more than 11 million Americans fall victim to identity fraud and some sort of stolen identity every single year. 11 million Americans every year. A year ago at this time, I filed my taxes because I'm a good boy and I do what I'm supposed to do, right? Render unto Caesar's. What is Caesar's? And so I did that. I filed my taxes, but I always drag my feet and do it right about April 15th. And so I did that. And about a month and a half later, I got a letter from the IRS. And I'm like, I don't like that. I don't like getting letters. I hadn't opened it yet. I started getting sweaty palms. I'm like, all right, Jesus is bigger than the IRS. So let's open this letter. And here's what I found inside. It said, hey, listen, Mr. Jones, we cannot process your tax return because we already received one at the beginning of the year and we can't process it again. And so if this is incorrect, if you didn't file earlier, then you need to go through this whole process that I'm still going through trying to get it right. I mean, I've already filed my 2015 taxes just last week and they still haven't figured out the whole 2014 tax situation. Identity theft. As difficult and as much of a pain it is to deal with the aftermath of someone stealing our identity in order to financially profit, here's where the real tragedy is. The real tragedy is when a person doesn't even know their own identity. Or they've gotten a taste of their new identity, but They've allowed circumstances of life, the busyness of life, or even just somebody else to steal and rob that identity that they have. And so they're walking around not even knowing who they are. This kind of tragic identity crisis was affecting a group of believers in a town called Corinth. There's a man named Paul, the great apostle Paul, who wrote a letter to those believers in Corinth to help them get back in touch with their true identity. I mean, here's what was going on. These believers started off strong, man. They fell in love with Jesus. They found their new life, their new thinking, the new spirit that they had now, the new freedom that they had, even their new identity. They started coming alive and all the new things in Christ Jesus. But over a short period of time, all of a sudden, they were forgetting who they were. They were forgetting who they were, falling back into old habits, embracing old identities and old words that were spoken over their lives back in the day before Jesus. Here's more of the context. Corinth, a very worldly city. It's kind of like the Las Vegas of today. It's probably even worse than that. I mean, they had a temple maybe it wasn't worse than Las Vegas, but it was bad. You know what I'm saying? It's bad. And you know how it is. So they're living in this environment. They're coming out of it. They're coming into Christ Jesus, but they're still living in the world. They're not of it any longer, but they're living in the world, and the world's picking at them, and the enemy's using every single tactic he can use, going back to those old sins that used to have power over their lives, but don't anymore, going back and trying to pull them back, just chipping away at these believers. Does that sound familiar, by the way? Kind of sound like our lives and what we're dealing with. We come to Christ, yet we're still in the world, and it keeps wanting to pull us back. Showed that clip from The Godfather. I get out, it keeps pulling me back, right? That's what happens. The world is trying to get every one of us to go along with them, including taking our identity. The world wants us to take on its identity. But we don't have to go back. You understand that? We never have to go back. We've been redeemed. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. We never have to go back. We come out of agreement with the world because we have a new identity. So this morning, we're going to embrace our new identity in Christ as we look at the book of 1 Corinthians, this amazing letter that was written to the church 2,000 years ago. But it's for the church today. It's God's powerful, unending word for us today. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. It says, Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, and I would say to the church that's right here, right now, today, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus. Is that you? If it's you, say amen. 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 Called to be what? Called to be saints. Other versions will say called to be holy, because that's what a saint is. It's one who is made holy by Christ. Called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Paul continues in verse 3. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, because God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Who are you? Do you really want to know? We're looking at it right here in God's word. This is where we need to get our identity. This is what we need to embrace as we understand who we are. If Christ Jesus is your Lord, if you've received him as your Savior, if you've surrendered your life to Christ, then who are you? We're going to look at five realities about your new identity in Christ this morning. And it begins with this. You have a new title. You have a new title now in Christ. That's one of the new things you have. That's part of your new identity. A new title. Your new title is you are a saint. You are a saint. If you're born again in Christ Jesus, God's word says you are a saint. Called to be saints together, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. This title is spoken over the people of God throughout the New Testament. We find it in the book of Acts, in Acts 9:13, in Acts 9:32. It's over in Philippians, chapter 4, verse 21, in Romans 16:2. It's in the book of Ephesians 4, verse 12, in Ephesians 5:3. This is the reality for everyone who is in Christ Jesus. We have a new identity, and that new identity begins with a new title. We are saints. But you say, wait a minute. Eric, I don't feel like a saint. I don't feel like a saint. Of course, my mind this week went to this place of sometimes you feel like a saint, sometimes you don't. It can be a scary or a fun place in my mind at any given time. You never know what you're going to get. But anyway, you see, sometimes I don't feel like a saint. And that can happen. It can happen to people because they don't even know that they have a new title. They don't know their new identity in Christ. It can also happen to people sometimes, and you can feel that way because the enemy's chipping away at your identity and pulling you back into believing lies, pulling you back into the old. But aren't I just a sinner? That's another thing that goes through our minds, right? But aren't I just a sinner? Isn't that just who I always will be? I'm just a sinner. I'm just, praise God, though, but I'm a sinner. That's true if you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you've never been born again, then yes, you are a sinner. And you need Jesus who will come and forgive you and make you all new and change your identity and your title now and forever. See, if we're in Christ, we're no longer sinners, but we are saints. That's what God's word says. At one time, that's a past. I love the Apostle Paul. He uses that phrase at one time. That's one of my favorite phrases because that says, hey, that is the past. That's the old. It's not the now and it's not the future. And at one time, we were sinners, but God rescued us. He redeemed us. He changed us. And he gave us a new name, a new title, a new identity. Now we are saints. We're saints. It's amazing. It seems scandalous almost, and it is, but the love of God is that big, okay? He did this for us. We need to embrace it, though. We need to embrace our new identity, allow God to lead us into living it out and enjoying it out. I don't know if that's a phrase, but I just made it up. Enjoying out our new identity. You know, if we keep calling ourselves sinners, then we're going to keep living like sinners. But if we embrace our new identity as saints, then we're going to live as saints. It can be that simple. Many of you have read stories and maybe looked at research that's been done where a parent will just speak really horrible things over their child as they're growing up. Oh, you're a loser. You're never going to amount to anything. Nobody's ever going to love you and want to marry you. That's the way it's always going to be for you, boy. And you want to know the sad thing? Is often that's a prophetic word that comes real and true over that child's life as they live out life through adulthood. They always believe that. They've embraced that identity and that reality. They think that's who they are. And you know what? But by the grace of God, that's probably who they're going to remain to be. God can change that, by the way. If you have a parent that ever spoke that over your life, that is not what your Heavenly Father says or thinks about you. Here's the reality. If a parent, and this is what God would say over you, you are a treasure. When parents speak that over their kids, you matter. The plans that God has for you are big, and He's going to give you all you need. You are loved. You are mine. When a parent speaks that over a child, that child has a whole new title, a whole new identity, and will live that out. And I want to let you know that that's what God thinks of every one of us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made in His image. Christ came and gave His life to restore us to our true identity and relationship with our Heavenly Father. The identity we embrace matters. Who we believe we are is most often who we will become. That's why it's no accident that God has given us new title. He's given us a new identity because he has new plans and he has new purposes for us now as saints. You see, God's plan for your life is not the plan of a sinner. God's plan for your life are the plans and purposes of a saint now, because you are found in his Son, redeemed and made new in Christ Jesus. If you've been embracing the wrong identity, if you've become a victim of mistaken identity, you need to and you can break ties with that lie that's been spoken over your life. You can come out of agreement with that today and walk into your new identity. And I want to give us the opportunity to do that. Throughout this whole series, we're learning some amazing things. Truth is coming alive in us, but we want to respond to it right here and right now. So I'd like to invite you to stand up. I want to invite Lennox Mashingase to come back up here and to lead us in a responsive prayer where we're going to come out of agreement with the lies spoken over us, and we're going to come on into agreement with a new identity and the new title that we have now in Christ Jesus.
Okay, let's pray. Repeat after me. Open the door to my heart, Lord.
Open the door to my heart, Lord.
If there's any weakness in it, break it.
Break it.
Open the door to my heart, God.
Open the door.
And let me be in a position
to let go of all offense.
Offense.
Out.
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 Unforgiveness.
Out.
Out. In the name of Jesus, out.
In the name of Jesus, out.
Father, as I'm in front of your throne,
Father, as I'm in front of your throne,
let your favor speak for me.
Let your grace speak for me.
Father, I embrace my new identity.
I am a brand new man.
My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
There is no darkness in me.
Darkness.
Out.
In the name of Jesus.
Out.
I am a priest. And because of that, I have access.
I am a king.
And because of that, I have authority.
I now take power
over all the power of the enemy.
And I declare my freedom
in the name of Jesus.
All familiar curses be broken.
All power of infirmity be broken.
All power of immorality be broken.
Sin power, you are broken.
I am free.
Because Jesus is my healer.
I am free.
Jesus is my redeemer.
I am free.
Because the Holy Ghost, he lives in me.
I am blameless before God
because I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb.
I am a joint heir with Christ.
I reign and rule with him in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated, or maybe we can just dismiss after that. Woo! Amen. Wait a minute. I've got 14 more points. Praise God. I want to encourage you. You can do that kind of spiritual warfare every single day. You can walk in that kind of new life every day, declaring the truth of God's word and his perspective and view over your life day in and day out. And so, we have a new title. We are saints. But it doesn't stop there. With our new identity and our new title as saints, we also have something else new that God's Word shows us in this passage in 1 Corinthians. We have a new grace. Paul reminds the believer that the grace of God was given to us in Christ Jesus. It says in verse 4. We talked about this a little bit last week when we were discussing new freedom, but sadly many Christians remain the same after conversion, forever plagued with sin and addiction to the point of just accepting it as normal. It's just going to be the way it is forever, but that's not the reality in our new identity with our new title and the new grace that we have in Christ Jesus. It should never be so, because you see, God's grace changes everything. God's grace changes everything, not just theoretically, not just theologically, but really. This isn't a virtual reality that we live in. When we step into Christ Jesus, we step into reality, period. And God's grace does that. It's powerful and it's effective and it transforms our life to the point of this. It says in verse 5 that in every way, because of God's grace that comes from our new identity, in every way you were enriched in Jesus, in all speech and in all knowledge. We talked at the beginning of this sermon series about how we have new thinking now. And what Paul is reminding us of here is that God's grace that comes because of our new identity in Christ actually enriches our brains. I mean, it's like His grace is spiritual brain food for us, transforming our brains, causing things to just start popping in our brains that were dead before, that now come alive, and we start understanding the grace of God, the wisdom of the Lord, the Word of God starts to come alive. I hope every one of you has experienced that. And if you haven't, it's yours in your new identity with this new grace that you have. Years ago, when I found out and reading God's Word that, man, my life doesn't look like this. I don't look like a born again believer. I'm not experiencing this life. And I fell on my face on my living room floor, cried out to God, said, okay, I'm all yours. Take me. And all of a sudden, boom or bam, His Word came alive. I mean, I'm starting to read His Word now in a surrendered place. And it's like I got spiritual brain food and I could start understanding things that I never understood before. I would read the same passage that I grew up hearing in Sunday school, but I never had it come alive like that. God enriches us in our new identity in Christ. His grace enriches our thinking. It even enriches our speech. The words that will start to come out of our mouths will be words that are coming straight from the throne room of heaven, that have the power to transform lives and draw people to the love of Christ. Because you're a saint now. A carrier of the grace of God. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is in you. Let it move through you. Let it enrich you. Who are you? You are a saint filled with the powerful grace of Jesus. You've been set free. You have a new grace. The third thing that we understand from this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is that we have new spiritual gifts. In fact, it says, Paul declares this over the church, and the Holy Spirit's declaring it over the church today, that you are not lacking in any gift. Church, we are not lacking in any gift. Some believe that they lack these gifts and that they will never have them. That's what the enemy wants us to think as the church today. Well, we're never going to have all these gifts, and that was just for then. It's not for now. That's not true. That was what was happening to the church in Corinth already, that early on. And Paul goes to him and says, no. You are not lacking in any gift. You need to know that in your new identity as a saint with His powerful grace that's all over you, that you're not lacking in any spiritual gift, any gift that the Holy Spirit has. And then he goes on by chapter 12, 13, and 14 of the same letter to the same church to describe all of these gifts. And he calls the church, eagerly desire them. Go after them. You're not lacking in them. They're right here for you right now. And the Holy Spirit, He will roll those out just as He sees fit at the right time to build up the body of Christ and bring glory to Jesus and for the kingdom of God to expand. We are not lacking in any gift. And these gifts are important ingredients to living out our new identity in Christ. I want to encourage you. I was just led by the Lord earlier this year, again in the prayer room. That's where the Lord speaks, by the way, when we just quiet ourselves before Him and we listen. Just a reminder about that. And working and praying through a message that talked about the gifts of the Spirit, which happens probably every other week, it seems like. It's just a part of the Christian life, right? Normal Christian living is the Holy Spirit moving in us and through us. And I just had this thought that I believe came from the Lord that said, okay, Eric, how are you going to help people walk into this? They hear about it, but how are people going to actually embrace it and explore it so they can walk in it and experience it? And so the Holy Spirit put the idea of, let's have a spirit life class. A place where we can learn, but a place where we can explore and ask the Holy Spirit to begin to move and to release gifts as He sees fit. A safe place, not a weird place, not a scary place, but a safe place for God to do what God wants to do as we just come before Him and eagerly desire all that He has for us. You can sign up for that class. It begins May 2nd. It's a Monday night at 7 o'clock. It's going to be right there in the family room. You can sign up for that class today in the lobby. You can go online to the member resources page and sign up there also. I encourage you to do that because with our new identity in Christ as saints, with the new grace that we have, we have new spiritual gifts. New spiritual gifts. The fourth thing that we discover about our new identity is that our new identity also brings with it new eternal life. Come on now. New eternal life. Jesus, it says in verse 8, will sustain you to the end. Who will sustain you? Who? Jesus will sustain you, a saint whose life is hidden and found in Christ Jesus. He will sustain you to the end. This reality of who we are, redeemed, saved, justified, forever the Lord's, it should rock us to the core. And I talked about this earlier, how we need to be living our lives with an eternal perspective. We need to be living every day with our eyes fixed on eternity, on Jesus, the coming King, on the plans and purposes that He has. When we don't, we get our eyes on all the busyness of today. We get our eyes fixed on Christ. What does the song say? And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. We need to be thinking and remembering and knowing and living out of the reality that there's an eternity. And in Christ, as saints now, we will spend that eternity with Him. It's a done deal. Our new identity brings with it a new eternal life in Christ. The fifth thing, the final. Our new identity also releases a new fellowship with Jesus, with God. Verse 9, you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This means that we have a new relationship with Jesus. It's not just a positional reality. It's a relational reality that we have with Jesus now. Our new identity isn't simply a title. It starts with title and moves all the way into fellowship, into relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have an intimacy with God now. God is no longer far off. And I want to just encourage you, if you feel like God is far off in your life right now, that's the enemy trying to rob you of the gift that you have in Christ. For He is not far off. He is here for you. He is here for you. We're no longer enemies of God. We're friends. We're sons and daughters. We are His beloved. We are His people, belonging to Him. And because of our new identity in Christ, we have this new relationship with Jesus that we will enjoy forever. Are you excited about that? Are you excited about eternity with Christ? All that's going to come, all that's going to happen? I want to encourage you with something. That eternity's already started if you're in Christ Jesus. It's right now. It's the now and the not yet. It's the today and the tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Do not let the enemy rob you of the eternity with Christ, the relationship, the fellowship with Christ that you have today. If something's getting in the way of that, kick it out of your life. It's not worth it. Okay, now I feel like I got to say, if it's your spouse, don't do that, okay? Pray more. Anyway, Holy Spirit just had that come to my mind. Okay, thank you, Lord. You know, many are missing out on a vibrant, meaningful, and victorious life today because they just simply don't know who they are. They don't know who they are. I want us to know who we are. Who are we? Who are we? I'm going to speak it over us once again. This is what God's word from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says. This is who we are. Who are we? We are saints. We are saints. You are a saint. If you are in Christ Jesus, if your life is hidden in Him, if He's your Lord and your Savior, if you've been born again in Christ, you are a saint. That's your title. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise, because God has spoken that over you. Not only are you a saint, but hey, we are filled with the powerful grace of Jesus Christ. It's not just some new title with no power. It's a title with all the power that comes with it. The very power of God that raised Jesus from the dead, that's at work within us and through us. That's what we have now in our new identity as saints. We're equipped with spiritual gifts. We're not beggars anymore. We have been given, it's been showered upon us, the gifts from the Holy Spirit given to the people of God. That's to us. Who are we? We are those who will be enjoying an eternal life with Christ Jesus forever in fellowship with our Creator, with our Savior, with our King. That's good news, church. And there's just sometimes we have to be reminded of these new things that we have, because all the world and the enemy is doing everything that it can to rob us of those things. But this is reality. This is what God says about us. Speak the word of God over your life. Inhale it, eat it, digest it, and live it out and enjoy it out. So who are you? Jesus gave His life for you. I want to conclude with this passage. Apostle Peter wrote a letter. It's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Church, this is who we are. This is who we are. But we are a chosen people. Not a forgotten people, but a chosen people. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. A people belonging to God. God wants you to know that today. You are a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful, marvelous, incredible, beautiful, stunning light. Once you were not a people, and we all know that, right? We've been there, done that. But now we are the people of God. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. We are God's people. We have a new identity. I want to invite you to remember that this morning in a special way, a way that Jesus gave us to remember that. I want to invite Pastor Rick to come up. He's going to lead us in communion. We're going to remember Jesus. And when you remember His body broken, when you remember His blood spilled, I want you to remember the new identity that you now have in Him. If you're a believer, this is for you. This is for you.